like the Kings have cleaned up a vital area. Before we get to that, let's update you on some of the things going on in the Western Conference. We were talking about Steph Curry's injury, and he is not expected to miss much time. Sources told ESPN Curry injured his ankle late Thursday, and looks like they did the MRI. And according to reports from ESPN, he is not likely to miss much time.
I think 7 to 10 days, I heard.
Yeah. Without structural damage. Yeah, and I don't even, on this story, it sounds like you have more information than I do, Drapes. This story in ESPN just says they're not putting any number on it. They're just saying he's not supposed to miss much time. Clear picture on a timeline expected as the ankle responds to treatment in the next couple of days. So,
all right, okay. Yeah,
that's a maybe a life season saver for them.
For them, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's been everything for them this season.
And how the Pels doing tonight?
Yeah. You know, we're keeping an eye on the Pelicans because we're chasing them. They're the five seed right now, a game up on the Kings. They're in Philadelphia right now, and it is at halftime. Let me look. Ingram has 10.
Jay could guess the score.
Yeah, Jay, guess the score. Ingram 10, Zion 14, Philly no Tyrese Maxey or Embiid tonight. Guess the score for me.
Halftime.
What quarter did you say?
Halftime. Right now.
Oh, I'm going 62-37.
Close. You must have just looked that up.
I didn't, but I figured if you want me to guess, it's got to be something extreme.
Philly 34 at the half.
That's terrible.
Pelican 66.
You almost nailed this.
Dude, you were close. You were right.
Take me right now to the local casino.
Right, exactly. Dude, I understand you're without Maxey and Embiid, but you're getting busted on your home floor by the Pelicans. Buddy Hield, 0 points, 0 for 5. Like, and he's their best player. Kyle Lowry and Buddy Hield starting backcourt. I mean, there you go, right there. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's funny. Dang, we're Sixers? Talking about Buddy Hield because we've been talking about booing so much, and Buddy's been involved in a couple of booing incidents at Golden One, right? The Kings were booed when he was here, and then he was not treated very kindly by Kings fans when he came back.
Not at all. And
Though he's your Disneyland buddy.
That's what I was about to say. That's my guy from Disney. I'm hanging out with my daughter. We're at Disney. You know, she's eating her, you know, cotton candy, and who do I see? Buddy Hield with that big smile walking. And we took a picture, and I posted. My guy.
Yeah.
And fans lit your boy up. They lit me up. They're like, Drapes, what are you doing? We hate that guy. And I'm like, Buddy had some great moments here in Sacramento.
And he can shoot.
He can shoot the rock, man. And but no, people, they don't like him here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was he was the main piece in the DeMarcus Cousins trade, right? To the Pelicans.
Yeah, to the Pelicans. Yeah, we got him. Was that his rookie year or second year? I think it might have been his second year, right? Yeah, second year. Yep. Uh-huh. And Buddy Buckets, man.
Yeah.
He had some great moments. The thing about Buddy, and you guys know this, he was going to give you something, whether it was good, great, or awful. Like, it was no in between with him. One night, he was 7 of 10 for 3. Next night, he was 2 of 12. Like, he and his late-game turnovers. Like, he was always – he was impactful in a positive and negative way a lot of times.
The one thing I'll remember about him always – I can't remember the game, but I remember him taking a three, like a long three, and in the back, Jaeger is going like, no, what are you doing? And it went in.
It went in?
Yeah. And then that became a big thing.
Yeah.
And then I think that might have been Jaeger's last year there. But, yeah, that's what I always think of when I think of Buddy.
Buddy Buckets.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So right now it's Minnesota, half a game up on OKC, Denver one game back. Clippers 3, then we got the Pels 6.5 back in 5th, Phoenix 7, the Sacramento Kings 7.5 back. Man, that was a huge win last night.
A huge win, and because we talked about it before the game. Lakers were on your heels, Warriors were on your heels before last night's loss. And so if you would have lost that game last night, you would have had the Warriors one game behind you in the loss column. Think of, that's a virtual tie. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so that you needed that win to put yourself, like right now, I think the Lakers and Warriors are both 3 games behind you.
That is correct.
In the standings.
Yes.
And so with 20 to go, sure, there's still time for them. But I think the Kings, in my opinion, are at least a top 8 team, you know, meaning that, you know, they would you know, win one game and you're actually in the playoffs.
Two chances.
You get two chances, exactly. And so that's why that was so massive. And that's why I think also we talked earlier about this upcoming game against Houston. This is a big one too. I think from here on out, Whitey, you got to win all the games you're supposed to win. You can't have any more letdowns. You can't have
no
any more
punting.
No more punting. Yeah. And Houston, this is a Houston team. I know Şengün is playing out of his mind right now, but you should win this game. And so then you got Milwaukee and L.A., and I'm like, okay, I can see maybe losing to Milwaukee and then hopefully beating L.A., but you can't – there are no more gimmies. You got to win the games you're supposed to win going forward.
Yeah, and remember the losses are so important now because once you lose, you don't get that back, obviously.
Right, right.
Kings with 26 losses. Suns have 26 also. Dallas, 28 losses. Warriors have lost 29, and the Lakers have lost 30 games.
Right, yes. Yeah. The Lakers, 4 games back. And you have the season series, I believe, over them now with that win. You've beaten them 3 times this year. And what's interesting, you bring up Phoenix. Phoenix has a game in hand, meaning they've played one more before you. So really, if you're Sacramento, you kind of control your own destiny. You got them one more time, too.
I think so.
Right? Like, yeah. If you control your own destiny because you have more games to play than the Phoenix Suns. Pelicans is a different story. They've played a same amount of games as you, actually, but they hold the tiebreaker right now. And even if you win, so you got to be at least a game above them. But I think that 6th spot is well within the Kings' reach.
Mm-hmm. And one thing the Kings are doing better lately is they're making their free throws, even in the loss to the Bulls. So it's 3 games in a row, and some people may say, you're going to jinx it. No, I mean, it's free throw shooting.
Right.
You know, there's no luck involved, and they're a much better free throw shooting team than we've seen this year, and they're finally showing it.
Yeah, and, you know, what was it, 17 of 18 last night? That's key for Sacramento because – Domas plays with such – first of all, he needs to be getting more free throws, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Like, this dude takes a lot of punishment on the inside. He takes a beating. He needs to be getting more free throws. I don't know what's going on with the officiating when it comes to Domas, but he needs to be taking more free throws. Same thing with De'Aaron Fox, too. But these – to me, free throws can be run stoppers, meaning when a team is going on a run, the momentum, all right, let's slow it down, get to the line, get a few to go in, then we go on our run. And so if you're giving those away, missed free throws are sort of the opposite of that. That gives the opponent more energy and say, oh, man, you know, there was – who missed 2 the other night? There was somebody.
Malik actually missed a couple.
Yeah, and it was like – and this was in L.A., I believe it was, and or maybe Chicago, and – you could just see the weight of the arena just like, and it was like the moment got big and the crowd was sighing and everything. To me, that gives momentum to the other team. And so they got to make their free throws, and they've been doing a better job of it.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job. They're not just, hey, making free throws. They're shooting a very high percentage.
Yeah.
And they're capable of maintaining that. We saw that last year. That's who they're supposed to be.
Yeah. And honestly, every team should be better at free throws than, like, no team should be 70%. Like, the days of having Chris Dudley, Shaq, when all these bigs can shoot threes nowadays, like, you should be able to knock down your free throws.
Who comes to mind if I ask you the worst and or just the oddest free throw style that you've ever seen?
Well, Jeremy Sohan was kind of bad. He's doing the one-hander.
Right, right. You ever seen Taco Fall?
Oh, it's like, yes.
It's like Charles Barkley's golf swing.
Right, right. Yeah. It's like a hitch in it, right? It's,
yeah.
He gives it up.
He was in Summer League once, and they showed, you know, he shot one, and they showed some little girl in stands, and she's looking like she saw the most horrible thing she'd ever seen in her life.
Taco Fall, yes. Central Florida alum, former Boston Celtic I was out there. My guy Taco.
In Taiwan or China.
Is he really?
I think so. But yeah, that was odd. I remember DeAndre Jordan was a brutal foul shooter.
He was
probably
brutal.
Still is.
He was brutal. Yeah. Who else? Was it Ben Wallace that was pretty bad? Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Hack of Drummond is pretty bad. There's been some, I mean, like I said, Dudley back in the day was pretty bad. Shaq. It's different. I mean, if you're a big guy, I get it. The big hands and everything. It's hard to palm the ball, you know, shoot the ball that way. But this team should not have that problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the last few nights, they haven't, which is great. When we come back, should Kings players be more understanding of the booing and what are fans booing exactly with the Drive Guys on Sacktown? Well, maybe the booing worked, right? Kings fans were booing last night. Some were booing when the Kings fell behind by 8 points in the fourth quarter, but they came back, won the game. I know Domas was not happy about the booing. Malik Monk was not happy about the booing. How are we, when I'm just us here, how are we feeling about what the Kings players said about the booing?
I mean, it's their right. You know, like I said earlier, I would have said, well, they should boo. We aren't playing well. Like, you know, accept it, take it, and say, I got to be better. I'm going to be better. You know, that's the tact I would have take. I would take. I'm not going to begrudge them for feeling how they feel. The issue I have is when people say, oh, we shouldn't boo these guys. They're our guys. No, I'm not going to treat them with kid gloves. You know, and people say it like that in that voice. I don't want to boo these guys. You know, like we had Sherry on a caller earlier. It's like, no, we're not. We're better than that, guys. No, I mean.
Coming up Monday, Sherry's takes.
Sherry's takes. Bring it on, Sherry. You can call in anytime. You could. But I think, you know what? I'm a little shocked that it bothers them that much. Maybe I'm shocked that they verbalize that and told us, like, booing is a part of sports.
Yeah.
Like, it's part
and
of.
In fairness, you know, I think they may have, both those guys may have specifically been asked.
Oh, right.
What did
right.
you think of
right.
the booing?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And Malik's, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
He's not supposed
Malik,
to like it, though,
I mean,
right?
To me, yeah. like, that's Malik. He's yeah. going to tell you exactly what he's
saying. Right. And he's not supposed to like it. But I don't think he should begrudge the fans for booing. Like, oh, they shouldn't boo us. Well, if you don't want them to play better, that's what I say mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah, no question. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Duncan has been hanging on.
Duncan.
Hey, Duncan, you're on with the Drive Guys. What's up?
Hey, I can't wait for Sherry's takes on Monday. That's going to be cool. So I think that the qualifiers, if you're going to boo, are at least wait till after the game. Because, like, last night was the classic example. The two people sitting next to my wife and I were, they left at about 4 minutes left. They were like, this isn't going well. And they left. They missed a really good game, really good end of the game. But the other thing is, too, is if you're going to boo and then they win, then you can't cheer and be part of the revelation.
Why can't you? Why?
Because you didn't have the faith in them while the game was going on.
That's
so you're
not,
saying
no.
if you boo, you forfeit.
You don't have faith
cheer
right.
nah,
in
that
come
game.
On. Who's this guy? Who's this guy?
This is Duncan.
Duncan. No, don't say it like that. What is it really?
Duncan.
Duncan. All right. Duncan. Hold on, Duncan. Hold up. You said your piece, Duncan. Give me a chance. Nah, we're going to let him go. Keep him on here. Here's the thing, though, Duncan. Just because I boo, that means I forfeit my right to cheer for this team? I just don't get it. Like, to me, cheering, like I told Marcus Morris, I've told this story 100% of the time. When you play well, I'm going to be your biggest supporter. When you do bad, I got to call it out. Fans are just calling out what they're seeing. They're reacting to what they're seeing on the floor, Duncan.
No, I hear you. I hear exactly what you're saying. But I'm much more of a person who wants to – I'll start coaching from my seat and try to let that spread to the area around me instead of the people that are booing.
You just and don't like that. Is it too negative? You don't like the negativity of it?
I don't like the negativity. No, correct. And I'm 100%. I've been there since the beginning. You want to talk about booing? Joe Klein and Purvis Ellison, those were two really good people that I remember that were good to focus your booing at. But those guys were working their butts off last night. And I mean, for me, it's the blood and the sweat of guys like Malik and Domas. And that's why I think both of those guys were able to at least express the fact that they were affected by it negatively. Anyway.
All right, Duncan. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Duncan.
Yeah, and by the way, the Sherry's takes, that was Manny Tulegit's idea, so I think he'll be sponsoring that.
Okay, all right. Yeah, he'll sponsor it.
Yeah.
Pay up.
See, now that's an interesting perspective I hadn't thought of. If you boo before the game's over, you forfeit the right to cheer. You can't have it both ways.
That's whack.
I don't see
that's
it
whack.
That way,
that's
but it is an interesting way
I'm
to look
I'm trying to
at.
Be respectful yeah. with Duncan, but that was, come on,
what,
man.
Okay, what about this, fellas? Can you boo, let's just say, end of the quarter, third quarter, going into the fourth, and the game is still in hand, but, I mean, it's just been terrible play. You can't boo in between the quarter? Like, does that make a difference compared to like
live action?
Yeah, live, exactly.
Sure,
sure. I say you could boo. Like, I think what happened yesterday, the Spurs went on a run. Mike Brown called a timeout, and as we were going to timeout, that's when the boos rang out. You know, I actually don't think the boos happen actively during the game. Dang. I think it happens when a team goes on a 15-2 run that you should be smoking, you should be, you know, crushing them. Mike Brown has to call timeout. Like, that's when the boos come. I don't think it comes actively as they going up and down the court.
I know at one point during the game, and it might not have been as dramatic as the time you're saying, but I know G-Man was mentioning it was when, as I said earlier, the Spurs stretched their lead to 8, and that's when G-Man said, "And here come the Boo Birds." Ooh. And the ball was, I mean, the ball
was still
in play.
Going on, huh?
Yeah, it was live ball situation. How about Chris joining us here at Sacktown Sports? Hello, Chris. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Chris?
Good. So, bro, I wanted to get you guys an opinion. Do you think it's solely based because he plays in Sacramento that De'Aaron Fox doesn't get the national attention that he deserves? Like, as far as the best point guards in the league, I mean, we watch him every night. And we know what he does. He's amazing. But for some reason, he's always a tier lower than, like, SGA and those guys, and I really don't see what the difference is between like him and SGA. And I mean, I know America has a love affair with Tyrese Halliburton, but I think Fox is better than him in almost every aspect of the game. He's a way better defender, and besides assists, I mean, Fox can take over a game and put up 40, and I just don't get why they always have Fox as like the third or fourth tier point guard in the league. And it's just maybe it's just because he's in Sacramento. But I just want your guys' opinion. And I mean, if he made his free throws, he'd be scoring 34 a game like Shea, you know. But just wanted your guys' opinion.
That's a good question.
What do you got?
You want me to go with that? I think it depends on the player. You look at Shea, they're winning. Like, they're, you know, number two in the Western Conference. They have a better record, 43-19.
I think Shea's better than De'Aaron, but
I second that easy. Yeah. I don't even think it's a close conversation. Right.
Thing about Shea, he's consistent.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have, what do you have? How many games in a row he had 30 or more 30, or 20? Yeah.
It was early in the season.
Yeah. And so he's way more consistent. I do think the Sacramento plays a part, but if that's the case, why is OKC getting love then? Mm-hmm. Why is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? I'll also look at, in comparison to Tyrese, the people who are doing the talking about this are media members. If you had a guy averaging 25-10 versus another guy that averaged 25-10, but every time you walked in the room, the guy on the left was smiling, "Hey, how you doing? Welcome." You know, like, I think personality with Tyrese comes into it. I don't think De'Aaron is as flashy. I don't think he, you know, look at even when he's on NBA Today with Domas, the personality. Like,
yep,
Tyrese
right.
has a magnetic personality, I think. And look at the NBA All-Star voting. It's not just the media. It's the fans, too. Tyrese Halliburton being the number one guard in the Eastern Conference, I just think he's a magnetic personality more so.
I think Sacramento has something to do with it. But remember, De'Aaron was, you know, third team all league last year.
Yeah, he did get some love, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But you know, and I think he had the focus of the basketball nation in the playoffs last year. But they were out after one round, not his fault. But you know, I think they have to get back to the playoffs, and he has to spend more time. And he was hurt too.
Yeah,
he played well, but he also had the injury. He needs to spend more time on the biggest stage to get some of that notice that he deserves.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at De'Aaron, especially this season, when we talk about all-star nods and things like that, the win-loss, like, the standings mattered. Like, I understand. I think the Kings were, what, 6 at the time. Like, if they would have been top 2, he'd be getting all the accolades, all the recognition.
Mm-hmm.
I look at a guy like, let's look at it. Let's go through the
I
list.
Think we did this, didn't we? Yeah, do this exercise.
Did we do this?
I felt like we did it. Yeah,
we might have done it off the air.
And Drace, before you do it, can I also throw this in there? Yeah. And this is something I think we've had a conversation, and I'll be the one to do it. I think part of it is this: You guys do a great job talking about the national media and the lack thereof that comes through Sacramento, especially right. Drapes. You challenge people just like we have Vince Goodwill, friend of the show, on there, and, of course, your guy. The other part of that, too, though, is, and this is something that I've said, and the narrative coming out of Sacramento has to change, too, at some point. And I think that goes with fans like, Chris, that called in mm-hmm. and asking those questions. That comes from the organization taking the next step and you know, going on a Heisman campaign for Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. And I think the other part of that, too, becomes is just it, and it kind of transforms into our booing conversation. It's like, listen, don't take it so much as they're not showing love. Take it personal in the fact, like, look, we want to promote our guys a little more. We want to push a little more. And it goes back to pushing the narrative. We want to continue to get behind De'Aaron. We want to continue to get behind Domas. And that's something I think we, like, even when we talk about Domas, you know, MVP conversation, if we continue to do that, I think we'll start to kind of feel some of that love as well.
No, I'm with you, Jay. It's an organization standpoint. It's a, you know, an individual too, like De'Aaron has to put himself
for sure,
out there
for sure.
More. You know, he signed with Clutch Sports. He's rocking Steph Curry's brand. Like, I think he's trying to take some of those steps to build up his rating. And, you know, I know we're going to take a break here in a minute, but I want to go through after this timeout, Whitey and Jay, let's go through the point guards in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Let's start that conversation and where does De'Aaron rank there? And an honest assessment of where De'Aaron ranks in the NBA.
I also think that as the organization continues to grow and as they achieve some of the goals that they have, the more they're able to do that, the more some of these issues, if you will, are going to take care of themselves.
Right, exactly. The more you grow, the more you play better on the court, the more you make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, De'Aaron, if he would have beat Steph Curry last year in the mm-hmm. NBA playoffs, his yes. stock would have risen big yes. time. Like, he would have been one of, like Devin Booker was. Remember Devin Booker took Phoenix to the Western Conference? Like, he blew up.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yep. Drape's point guard breakdown, yeah. And we'll get back to the phones as well. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Drive, guys, on a Friday. Among other things today, we've been talking about that unbelievable, sensational, never really seen anything quite like it block by Anthony Edwards last night. And I just want to mention this, Drape, before we get to your breakdown here. We talk a lot, you've been talking an awful lot lately about how the national media, you feel like they're letting people down, they're mm-hmm. irresponsible. I'm not going to say who said this because I don't want to give them attention because I think that's why they said it. But did you see that one of the national talking heads said that that block was, that's one of the easiest blocks you'll ever see.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, I'm not saying who. Okay, you saw it.
Another Yahoo that's
like,
out there.
Like, and it's like, I started to go, what? And then I realized, no. Okay, fine.
People just say things, man, you know, just to get clicks, you know.
Yeah.
And
I
would never do such a thing, you know. So I would never do such. But, you know, We started talking about the point guard debate, and it was from a caller. I forget his name. And
Chris, I think.
Chris, why De'Aaron Fox doesn't give love? Like, how much does the Sacramento factor play into it? And, you know, it got me thinking, man, where does De'Aaron rank on the point guard list this season? We're talking right now because he was all-NBA third team,
right.
You know,
right.
Last year.
Which is sensational.
Sensational, exactly. And I think statistically he's having a better season this year than he did last year. And I think really it comes down to the team isn't, you know.
They're not the darlings of the NBA.
Not the darlings
right
of the NBA. And so it got me thinking, you know, we know the point guard position is loaded in the NBA. As I look at it right now, Western Conference, you got OKC with Shea. Okay. All right. If you want to say Shea is better.
Me and Jay said yes. And okay. I didn't know.
I guess. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, Shea's nice. He's nice. Is Jamal Murray a point guard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me Foxy.
Give me De'Aaron.
Give me Foxy.
Yeah.
Why do you? Oh.
I mean, he's won a championship.
I'm not going to talk about playoff and Jamal. I'm talking about right now.
He's a winner.
But he got Jokic.
Yeah. I think you put De'Aaron there. That's a whole different ball game with De'Aaron.
I would take, if I'm being honest, I would take Jamal Murray.
Okay.
Really, dude?
So you got De'Aaron number three right now.
Just in the Western Conference right now.
Yeah. Jamal Murray is nice.
All right. Okay, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
That's your take.
Efficient.
Let me kick back on that. The only thing, not the only thing, but one of the things that draws back for me for Jamal Murray is availability.
Yeah,
he's hurt quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, that's part of it. You got to have part of it. All right, James Harden. I'm just going down the list.
Give me De'Aaron.
All right. Luka.
Fox.
Over Luka Doncic?
Yes. Yeah.
You guys, I love it. I know there's a Luka hate around here. This dude might be the MVP this year, or second.
I don't care. Westbrook was MVP 1 year
okay.
and he shouldn't have been.
All right, let's take a look. Steph Curry.
Steph.
This guy, Whitey trying to get a deal with over there with
I'm
the kid.
About
You're trying
it.
To get on the
I'm
payroll, huh, big dog? Okay, what you got for me?
Per deal.
Yeah, Steph is right. Yeah, sure.
Steph, come on, man. Yeah, Steph is top five in the game.
When
I like to think about these. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah.
When available, John Morant. I disagree with you on that, Jay.
Okay. Yeah, I can see. Yeah, I wouldn't like, well, you're crazy, right. But I would say Fox.
Mm-hmm. All right. So by your account, listening to you, Mr. Whitey, Kevin Gleason, De'Aaron Fox, the sixth best point guard in the Western Conference, fifth?
I didn't think I had him that low, did I?
You had Shea. You had Murray.
Steph.
Did you have Steph?
Yeah,
I did.
You had Steph. You didn't have – did you have Ja?
Nope.
No.
Oh, so you had him as the fourth best in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And ahead of Luka.
Yes.
All right.
Is so that's Kyrie in that?
Oh, Kyrie. Okay. All right.
They can't both be point guards, can they?
I mean, yeah, I don't know, but they are. Depending on the team. Like, Kyrie, you know, in Cleveland was the point guard. You know, I think in Boston he was the point guard. I think. All right. So that's Fox fourth. What about Dame Lillard? I'm going to the East now.
I'm taking Dame.
Yeah, I'm taking Fox.
Dang.
Right now, because we're talking right now, and Dame Lillard is not a good defender.
Okay.
Jalen Brunson.
Wait, you think he is?
No, I
you just don't think that matters as much?
Yeah.
All right. Jalen Brunson.
Oof.
Fox.
I take De'Aaron, but we're getting to bottom of the top 10.
Yeah.
Me. Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey.
I'm hesitating only because I remember a couple years ago telling somebody, I think Tyrese Maxey is better than De'Aaron Fox.
You said that?
A couple years ago, I said that. But I don't say that now.
No.
Okay.
I think he's got to do it another year or so. Yeah, but give me De'Aaron.
Two seasons ago, I said that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So I think, wait, you got him at six right now, right? Or you? You still got him at four.
Yeah, you keep pushing him lower on my list.
I'm about six. I have him about seventh or eighth right now.
Jay got him at seventh or eighth. Yeah. So,
you're kind of dodging.
No, I'm moderating this. Yes. I'm moderating this.
He's calling the game. Yeah, he's Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah, all right.
I'm calling the game. So you said no Dame and no Brunson, right?
That's correct.
Ahead of Fox.
And
okay.
I certainly could see how you would make the case.
And you said no Maxey too, right?
Right.
Tyrese Halliburton.
It's gonna get me in trouble, man. Can I do the Kirk Herbstreit?
That's tough. Tyrese is nice.
He is, man.
And he does it in a different way.
Yes. And for me, if I'm building my team, I'm more traditional point guard. I'm going Halliburton.
Dang,
but
Jay.
But I understand. To me, they're and this was the coldest part about it is they're great at what they do. It just depends on how you want you to operate
your team.
Yeah, construct your team. Who else is on your team? Like those type of things.
Without looking at numbers, I'm big on efficiency, and I think Halliburton is a little more efficient this year, and I would go Halliburton.
Ooh, so that pushes De'Aaron down a little bit. And there's really only one more guy I want to talk about.
Really?
Trey Young.
Ooh. I have one that's a back end.
Oh, you got somebody? Yeah. Okay, all right. But give me Trae Young.
Fox over Trae Young, by the way.
I think Trae Young's maybe one of the most underrated guards out there.
Give me
I think I think he's a really good player. I think he's overrated.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Drew Holiday? This isn't my one, but what about Drew
Holiday? You value defense.
Yeah.
He's
a winner.
Almost a complimentary player more than a star, you know? He's phenomenal. I would take him over a lot of guys in the NBA. But I don't know. Maybe I'm dodging the question. I have to go to Kirkland Herbstreit over here.
Kirkland Herbstreit. I like that. That's a good one. That's a good one.
But is that a fair comparison? Do I have to make that?
What, about Drew being complimentary?
Just Drew and Fox, if we're talking point guards? Is that?
Yes.
I would take Drew Holiday.
What? For the building of your team?
Huge Drew Holiday fan.
He's not better than De'Aaron, but are you constructing your team?
Yeah, he's a great defender. But he's more of a, if I need a star, like a guy's going to lead my team, he's not that guy.
I said De'Aaron.
But you had him at like 12, Jay, so the other eight that was disrespectful.
Okay, just want to push him down our list, Jay.
Okay, so wait, real fast, before I say my guy, let's say this. I have SGA for sure. I have Dame. I have Steph Curry. I have Ja Morant. Where else were we?
Did you have Brunson? You had Hallie?
Oh, I had Hallie, so that's five. So he's six.
Did you have Brunson?
No. I'm taking De'Aaron over Brunson.
Ja Morant? Did you say that already?
Yeah, he's part of my five.
Tyrese Maxey?
Nope. I'm taking De'Aaron. So I got him six.
Darius Garland?
I'm taking Foxy.
You didn't put him on our list originally.
I didn't put him.
I'm taking him. I'm taking Trae
Young?
Six.
No?
I'm taking him over Trae.
What about LaMelo?
That's my one.
Ooh.
That's my one, Whitey. I can
go ahead and shoot me now, baby.
I'm taking LaMelo.
Really?
I love LaMelo's game. And understanding him and Halliburton kind of look similar. You know, they're pass first. I still give you my 20, but I'm also give rebounds. You know, like, I like LaMelo. Mm-hmm. And it's disrespectful because Foxy's done way more.
Yeah.
Than LaMelo. It's leaps and bounds.
See, but here's the thing.
How
many did you have? Five, six? I can't remember.
Somewhere around there.
I have six.
De'Aaron was just all NBA third team.
I got him six, Drapes.
I got
him six, though.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, I got him. Right. I got Dame, Steph.
And I thought I had him a little higher than you.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. If y'all, like, okay. You guys backpedaling like Deion Sanders.
No, no,
that's all good.
Deion
didn't
backpedal.
He said,
ran
you guys
with
have him 19. Like, no, we didn't.
I'm just saying, we started this conversation about, you know, the reason De'Aaron isn't getting love. Is it the Sacramento factor? I think that plays a part of it, but you got SGA and OKC. Why is SGA one-on-one interviews with Malika Andrews on NBA Today?
And that's a really good question.
You know what I mean? OKC's not a big market.
Yeah, but I think you answered your question when you say it like this. And this has no disrespect to what De'Aaron Fox wants or is doing. He's his own individual. And if he loves his life, please, that's what we want. SGA is over at Fashion Week in Rome.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's tied to some of these things. He's doing commercials and, you know, and I think that's what you were talking about is, you know, one thing about Tyrese and how many interviews did we see Tyrese have to talk about the Kings trade?
He was everywhere. McAfee or whatever.
Yes, yeah. Everywhere. And so I don't know if that's his team. I don't know if that's him individually. I don't know if his PR is doing well. But I think that's part of De'Aaron is – you know, De'Aaron's not really wiggling around here,
right,
you know,
right.
at Fashion Week over in Paris.
But if he doesn't want to do that, you know, you made the point, hey, you have to do that. Well, you have to
in
order to get the attention.
Yes.
If De'Aaron's like, I don't need that, I don't want it, I mean, I'm fine with that.
So let me ask you this then. If De'Aaron doesn't want the attention, because we know how the media operates, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, right?
And it is like a popularity contest.
It's a popularity contest. So if our guy doesn't want to be on that level popularity-wise, doesn't want to be rolling in those circles, doesn't want to be at the Super Bowl parties or anything like that, should we hold it against the media for not talking about him then?
I say no. The only thing I think that clears it up and goes back to the beginning is winning. You have to push it the narrative further where you're on national TV and you're winning and you're battling for championships and you're that's what we saw the old regime of the Kings do. They pushed the narrative where they were going to Western Conference Finals. They were battling.
They
Shaq
forced
and
you
the Lakers.
To talk
exactly.
About him.
Yeah.
Because SGA ain't advanced to nothing yet.
No.
But yet,
right.
All
no.
of a sudden.
Right.
He's,
but SGA also is international. Let me also throw that in there because he's from Canada as well.
Yeah. That's true.
I would draw the line here. Can we hold it against the media for not talking more about De'Aaron if he doesn't want to be visible? No, but still when it comes to like voting on things that matter, it's the media's responsibility to know
it shouldn't be
how good this guy is, whether he's out going, hey, everybody look at me or not.
Right, no, you're right. Same thing with DeMontis Sabonis. It may not be flashy or anything like that.
That shouldn't matter
player. Right, exactly.
But fellas, I'll say this. I think DeMontis has certain things built in. His father, you know, like, he's a he's a junior type situation. You know,
right.
There's other storylines built in for DeMontis. And then the other part about it is if we did the same exercise and just did big men, like, I don't think we even come close to having like, I think Domas right there is 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah,
Embiid,
I agree.
Jokic, Domas. Like,
that's how
you
I
might
agree
put
with
a Mobley
you.
In there. Like, you could, well, I'll take this person. See, with De'Aaron, I think there's like 10 other people. You could be like, I could probably have him 12th depending on where I see and who I had on my other team. And I think point guard's just loaded right now.
No, you're right. You're right.
Did Jay really say LaMelo?
Yeah, he said LaMelo.
Love LaMelo.
What about availability, Jay?
Yeah, and that's why I said I don't want to disrespect Foxy because I just think if they're healthy and don't, and this may hurt his brother because De'Aaron works Lonzo left and right. Yeah. You know, he's been doing it since college. LaMelo has all the tools, and he has height, size, you know, everything.
You put LaMelo on a team with actual talent?
Man, put him on the Kings.
Yeah, he's nice. Ooh, he's nice.
And he's healthy.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, the Warriors could have had him, and they drafted Wiseman. Can we close down the roller coaster next to the drive, guys, as we wrap it up on Sacktown Sports?
Subscribe.
It appears that not everybody is in agreement with Jay and I over our point guard rankings. Jay and I aren't even in agreement. And you got Kyle Draper over there, just like with the strings of the marionette.
I'm straddling the
what
fence.
Do you
I'm
think?
Not.
What
this
do you
this
think?
Is not about my opinion right now, man. I'll let you guys do it. The experts. I'll let you guys.
Let me ask your opinion of this. Are we done with the roller coaster? The Kings, you know, up and down, up and down. Can't win at home against the bad team, shorthanded. Hey, they did it. So does that mean, all right, well, at least they've done that. So that chapter is now closed on this season.
I think when you look at the roller coaster, it's all about expectations going into that game. And so Houston, I expect my guys to win.
Yep.
Milwaukee, that's going
to
be a tough.
Even Jay expects
right,
them to
even
win.
Jay expects. I'm looking at the schedule. This is the stretch I'm worried about in terms of riding the roller coaster. At home against Memphis, we should win that. At Toronto, at Washington, back-to-back.
In that order?
In that order.
That's good.
Is it?
Well, I mean, I'd rather have Washington on the back.
Oh, because they're easier?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
an easier.
Yeah, that's all I'm thinking.
Yeah, but like, you talk about the roller coaster. Can you imagine losing to the Wizards? But
I can't.
But
I don't,
see,
I don't
but
want to.
It's
I know
Toronto.
I
you're leaving Toronto. It's going to be late. Customs when you come through and everything. Probably not going to get to D.C. till about 2:30 or so. That's going to be. I'm talking about the opportunity for the roller coaster to keep going.
That's just one of those games, like you said, at this point, you can't punt any more games away. It doesn't mean it won't happen, but you know, you can't afford to. And so that would be one. That would be. Whew, that's Ray Guy time. I mean, if you punt that one, it's like,
Ray
oh,
Guy.
My goodness.
Well, the problem, too, Whitey and Jay, is when you look at the last 20 games of the season, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games in which I think the Kings, maybe 8, will be favored in. The other games... It's a tough schedule. Milwaukee. You got Orlando, who's a good team.
Very
that's
good.
On the road at Orlando. Dallas twice. You'll probably be favored. You know, it'll be right there. Clippers, Celtics, Knicks, Thunder, Pelicans, Suns. Like, it's a tough stretch.
Right. I know. We keep talking about it. It's a tough schedule. It's an easy schedule.
Right.
And there's still some challenges on there.
So, and this is why I bring, you know, this is in relation to the roller coaster. If it's a tough schedule and you lose those games, is that really riding the roller coaster? Are you're losing the teams that 50-50 maybe? You
no,
know?
That's not. So, yeah, I mean, if
the
you
roller
lose coaster,
is, right? It's not. That's not.
Yeah.
And so you really only have about 8 games where you can ride that roller coaster with.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones I'm worried about, the Raptors and the Wizards, that back to back scares me.
Wow,
yeah, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because
of travel mostly?
Travel, you know, it'll be interesting, the itinerary to Toronto, because you got to go through customs. I just think, and a back-to-back? Like, you're playing in 2 different countries on 2 different nights. Like, you know, like, that's a tough game, no matter who it is. And so, I don't think the roller coaster is over. Do I want it to be? Yes. But really, Whitey, the roller coaster is our expectations of the team. So I'm setting myself up. If they lose to the Wizards on a back-to-back, well, I was worried about that one, so I'm not too down on that, you know?
You're not buying that, Jay?
Jay's
over
there.
That's not the drapes I know. That's not the drapes. That's normally Jay.
I'm trying to prepare myself.
That's not the drapes I know.
I'm trying to prepare myself, Jay.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Because you look at it, if they lose to Milwaukee, so be it. What if they lose to the Lakers? You beat them three times already this season. How bad of a loss is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so that's why I'm,
it's,
you know,
bad, though, because you're at home.
But
and it's all, you know, maybe we just, these things that we think are that important are not as important. You're at home. You're supposed to win this
right.
game.
Not, like, not anymore, right?
Yeah.
The home court is not mattering right now. Like, the Spurs almost came in here and got a win at G1C. And I'm looking at the Kings' home versus road record. They're only, let me see, do the math, three games better on the at home than on the road.
And as we were discussing at the arena last week, it's been 2 years, two seasons of this.
Right,
now.
Right. Last season, they seem to be a better road team. And I don't know what it is. Like, and so losing these games at home, I think the roller coaster, it's a possibility.
Still operational,
to your point.
Huh?
Yeah, I think it's just waiting for some more passengers to come on.
As we get ready for the Rockets, isn't it interesting to think back on those two games in Houston? Because if I remember correctly, that was the first time this season where we really started
to
feel like, whoa, this isn't the team that we thought it was.
They were blowouts. They took our lunch money, and Şengün dominated Domas. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the whole Domas, yeah, you know, had a rough stretch down there in Houston. And I'm looking forward to that matchup because Şengün is playing his best basketball. You see how what he did to Wimby the other day?
45?
Yeah, he just ate him up. And so this is and you talk to a lot of people, you know, fans of the Rockets, they think Şengün's better than Domas. Mm-hmm. So our guy got to step it up this weekend.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it very much. Enjoy the game. Have a great weekend. Drive Guys back with you Monday on Sacktown Sports.